Welcome to today's episode of Biz Trends. In this episode, we dive into the exciting world of AI with the one and only Musa Kalenga. He's a leading voice in technology and innovation. And today we're going to explore how agentic AI in particular is revolutionizing the way businesses can leverage artificial intelligence. Hopefully, we'll empower you to build and command, or at least inspire you to build and command your very own AI army. Whether you're a business owner, entrepreneur, or tech enthusiast, this episode will provide you with the tools you need to understand and utilize this game-changing technology. So, Musa, you've been at the forefront of AI and technology innovation in this country and across the continent for a long time. Can you tell us a bit about your background and what led you to explore AI in Africa in such depth?
Well, yeah, as mentioned, it's been a journey, firstly, and for me, it was really about understanding how technology in general can help us solve some of Africa's most complex problems. And starting from the days where I was working at Facebook Africa, trying to understand what social media meant for business, went through the whole rigmarole of social media into social business, and then that's obviously evolved now into this world of AI that we're in. There's a fundamental journey that's told there, and it's about figuring out what it is that we can do to impact Africans, the economic context, and what technology can do to make that happen. And so for me, it's a natural progression, and where we find ourselves with AI, it's exciting to see what the early possibilities are, but certainly I think people are quite nervous about the opportunities available. And at the same time, I see some really, really cool green shoots of people experimenting early with AI and getting massive amounts of value. So my journey has really been about how you use creativity to solve that problem.
Amazing. So can you tell us a bit about that evolution of AI? And specifically where we are now with the advent of agentic AI, which is the big word of the year. Where are we? How did we get here? And where are we going?
$1 million question. If I knew the answer, I'd be a very rich man, Bronwyn. But where are we? I think, if I look at the average audience that I speak to and I ask them whether they're excited about AI or not, about a year ago, 20% of the audience would say they were excited, 80% say they weren't. Now it's probably about 50-50, where half the audience is excited and the other half aren't. So it's shifting. I'm probably estimating in a couple of months' time, 80% will be excited, which means there is some level of adoption. The basic technologies that started creating this interesting new revolution are ChatGPT, when we mainstream were able to access information in a way that we hadn't before. Those that started using ChatGPT early on got the sense of being able to get information structured in such a way that it was close to indistinguishable from a human output. And that's meant that over time, that that value that was created is now turning into business opportunities from an agentic AI point of view. It's also true that when you think about what AI was able to do and what it's going to be able to do, there's been almost a completely phenomenal acceleration in value. So once you know that you can get information at the rate you can and at the quality you can, I see that people are adopting it at a far higher rate than I saw with social media. Most people who started using ChatGPT are now completely bored with Google, as an example. I've spoken to many people who are like, when I interact with the Google search, it just doesn't have that thing that makes me feel confident in what it's telling me, which is so typical of human evolution, right? When you interact with the technology that seems to solve the problem, enter a new technology, it then almost becomes like what I was doing previously is a little bit, prehistoric. So I see that as where we are now. A lot of people are adopting and they're experimenting, but I still do see that there's a massive amount of knowledge and learning that can happen. There's now a proliferation of LLMs and proliferation of solutions, so it's now really about testing and learning with what works within your ecosystem. And that's, I think, the bridge into agentic AI. I certainly have gone through the journey of going, how do I tinker with this thing? And then I go, oh, it can solve some problems. And then I looked at how, the repetitive things I were doing on a daily basis took up time. And I just had to learn how to describe those things and then match a solution to that over time and then turn that match solution into a way to automate or code it into an AI, right? So I think those of us that are a little bit, in inverted commas, chacharach or head of the curve, have gotten to that point now where you've understood the role and how it automates and makes your life a lot easier.
Okay, great. So let's take a step back. Can you define, so explain to me like I'm your grandmother, what is agentic AI?
Well, Granny, it's really just understanding that at this point in time, there are tasks that you perform in your day, your life, and your everyday experience that take up time that potentially you could be using to do other things. the moment you can identify those tasks and describe those tasks, there's a degree of automation that you can attach to that task. That means you do not have to do it anymore. So Granny, if you currently are baking 3 cakes a day, and part of the process is searching for menus to bake those cakes, you can build an agent that goes online and finds recipes for those cakes so that you don't have to do that piece and just focus on making beautiful cakes. So if you do that, it gives you time back to focus on what's important, but it also takes away from you doing the stuff that we don't want to do as human beings. So that's agentic AI. And then turning that into a business solution becomes really where you get the commercial value.
Excellent. So talk to me about those business solutions. What are you doing in the agentic AI space? And is there anyone else in the African continent our viewers and listeners should be keeping an eye on?
Absolutely. So there are a number of players. We've started kind of in our corner. We're an advertising agency who realized that there was ways that we could produce value a lot quicker. We started probably about 2 years ago experimenting with our traditional process, right, from getting a great brief right through to getting stuff ready for production. We started with a timeline that was getting increasingly challenging for our clients, and they said we needed quicker. You know, clients throw around this term, we want agility, we want it to be done quicker. And so we went from, you know, a period of time, and we cut that down by 50%, and over the last 2 years, we've gone from 42 days down to a matter of hours to turn stuff around. That is a classic example of being able to look at the best-in-class AI and look at a value chain of how we produce stuff and applying it to each stage of that process and being able to get our time and our process down. We then convert that into a solution, right? So that IP, the knowledge, the learnings become a service that we launched called Forge. And Forge effectively allows anybody to be able to replicate the IP that we've created into their own environment. So that's an example from our perspective. I also see other organizations that are doing similar. I suppose, you know, if you look at our value chain in terms of production, in terms of creative and strategy, there's various different slithers of agentic AI that could work in those spaces. What our strategy has been to do is look at the entire value chain and try and find value across the board. And it's exciting because in certain instances, you can see when the light bulb goes off and you've been able to solve a challenging problem, especially for clients, how they then look at that and change their ways of working. Because what I found to be really interesting is when a client tells you they want it done faster, and you say to them, sure, we can do it faster, but can you move at the same speed? It becomes a whole other conversation. So the transformation and the digital change that needs to happen alongside all of these solutions is really the difference between those that work and those that don't.
So what I'm hearing you say is that what's important for businesses is to understand that these things are happening.
Absolutely.
The technology is moving, the market is shifting, but they also need to be clear about what it is they want.
Absolutely.
And what it is they can and should do themselves thanks to these new tools.
Absolutely.
And what they should be delegating, firstly, to the tools, and secondly, towards other businesses like yourself.
Absolutely.
So what wisdom can you give a small business owner sitting in South Africa, sitting somewhere on the African continent? What do you have to know about agentic AI?
Yeah.
And then what do you have to learn to do for yourself? And what should you be now letting go of?
Yeah, very good point. So what you need to know, number one, is it's not going anywhere, right? So I often sit with people who are just like, it'll pass. It's kind of a wave that's going to come and go like the yo-yo, and it's not. So number one, it's not going anywhere. And as a result of the fact that it's not going anywhere, the sooner you start tinkering with it, the better, because the learning curve that you need to go through to be able to understand the value is only based on the degree to which you're interacting with it. So that's the first thing if you're a small business. The second thing is once you've been able to reach a threshold where you've got a level of comfort, then you can start to be really creative about what the solutions can actually be. And that's the space of having described what you're trying to solve for, being able to build an agent that can replicate that on your behalf. And then I think the world really opens up, because once you get to that point, you can then start to see the application of not only your agent in the context of your business, but also that potential opportunity in the context of an industry. And I think that's the big opportunity for African businesses, because as you know, we were very famous for, you know, leapfrogging the desktop, as they all say. And AI has been touted as one of the reasons that we'll be able to capture value in this fifth industrial revolution. And so small businesses can get a lot of amount of value in a short period of time by simply describing the problem, creating an agent to solve it, and thinking about what that means for the industry. I will end off by saying that, you know, I often interact with people that that are the naysayers. And the naysayers always, yeah, this AI thing is going to come and go, it doesn't work. And the other day I was with a professor who was saying that you tried using AI to do a bit of research, and oh no, it was giving me the wrong references. And I said to him, but you know, the goal of the AI is not to do your work for you, it's to take away the things that are that you shouldn't be doing. So the age-old saying that a bad workman always blames their tools is really important, right? So the tools are only as good as you as the workman. It still requires you to be able to have oversight, the insight, and the wherewithal to bring it all together to create value.
Yeah, so really seeing it in terms of opportunity rather than in terms of threat.
Absolutely.
But now, what are some of the challenges, or what are some of the things that you've noticed businesses getting wrong when they try and adopt AI and agentic AI tools? What are people doing wrong when they try and they see this amazing world opening up in front of them, but what are they doing wrong when it comes to interacting with that and taking those first steps and deploying resources in a way that's going to get them that return on their time and investment?
Yeah, I think the first thing is they completely remove themselves from the process too soon. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, once you see that you can get from zero to one super quickly, the temptation is great to say, I no longer need to provide oversight, right? So removing yourself too soon is a big issue. Why? Because as we all know, AI is still being trained by and large. There's still the hallucinations that happen. There's still things that a human eye needs to have a look over. So don't remove yourself too soon, because you still need to do that. But after a number of experiments or tests, you can pretty much fine-tune outputs, responses, and views from AI. And only at that point can you turn that into a codified way to replicate it. So don't remove yourself too soon under the guise of, oh, it solved the problem, therefore I no longer need to, until you've been able to run sufficient amount of tests and gotten your confidence levels up significantly.
And then tell me, what about the unique challenges of adopting agentic AI in an African context? Mm. We know that a lot of these large language learning models have been based on data sets that are from overseas, to put it quite bluntly. Yeah. Are there any specific challenges in our market? And conversely, are there any specific opportunities when it comes to integrating AI in the African context?
Yeah, massive, massive challenges. I think one that is probably taken for granted is English. So you have to describe things, right? And in most cases, you're describing them in English. So if you're not a first language English speaker, or you've never spoken English before, and you're having to prompt into an English-based LLM, you've got a core issue, right? So English is a huge challenge. There are some LLMs that are being developed for African language and African language context that are coming up, which I think will help to solve that problem. But I think the complexity of being able to articulate some of the things that we need AI to do right now is originated from the English language. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, when we're trying to find solutions around that, it might be a combination of different initiatives. So there may not be a one-size-fits-all. So when you think about solving for English in the marketing and advertising space, it means that you might have to think in English and output in a different language, you know, and that can be solved for, right? Because you've got Google Translate and the rest of it. But original thought and original instruction is really the big challenge. Where it is an opportunity is, like, you know, companies like Lalapa AI, who are building phenomenal integrations and API opportunities into massive data sets of African languages, means that we'll now be able to get over the hurdle of getting people to be forced down a specific language to be able to prompt, and also enhance the output when it comes to language specifications. The last thing is, those of you that interacted with ChatGPT in the early days and you gave it a description of an African context, whether it's a club or a home, the one thing that always came out was the word Ubuntu, right? It always spat out Ubuntu, because at the time the data wasn't trained sufficiently to understand the context of African environments. And so we've seen a drastic shift. Now when you prompt in that context, it doesn't give you that anymore. But what is important is, we need to be creating LLMs and databases that have got more African language contexts, and that'll help us to get a better output.
It also sounds like an opportunity for new businesses to start, and a whole lot of new jobs to be created in creating those data sets, creating those interactions, and building that base that might exist in other parts of the world, but not here yet.
Absolutely.
Now, people might be curious about this conversation, but they might still be hesitant. What advice would you give to a business, say a small business working in marketing in this context? What are the first steps you should take if you want to get started in this space?
So I've got a list I call the I list. It's called the irritation list. So make a list of the irritations in your business. When I say irritations, what are you doing every single day that you don't want to be doing? Starting point. Just describe those things. Once you describe those things, try in as much detail to have a step-by-step in terms of how you do those things, because that gives you the foundations of a prompt. Once you've got the eye list or the irritation list and you've described each step very simply, then find a platform. Find a ChatGPT, find a Grok, find a whoever. And then take your eye list and the set of instructions and try and get the AI to replicate those. And as you see that it produces an output for you, try and tweak your instruction and see if it gets better or worse. And in that process, it's kind of iterative learning. You've taken a point of view which is nothing from the AI. It's just what your world is on a daily basis. You describe it accurately. You find an AI to solve it. And then you just tweak that. What that does for you is it gives you, number one, a very clear line between your problem and a solution. Number two, it also gives you a low-risk way of being able to find out if it actually works or it doesn't. Because I think most of the time, the big question mark is, does this thing even work? Lastly, it gives you a very clear way in which you can optimize on the output and then prove the case for value for yourself. So that's how I would do it from a step-by-step perspective.
Thank you so much. That's really valuable advice. Mm-hmm. But now, if I was a young entrepreneur looking at this context, where do you think, from your perspective, the low-hanging fruits lie? Where are the biggest opportunities in terms of both applications and in terms of industries for AI to solve problems for the African continent?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's probably two ways to think about it. The first is thinking about solutions from a ground-up point of view. So where am I feeling pain? Where am I seeing opportunities kind of on a daily when I just look around and I see my world? And then the second is from a top-down point of view, right? The services I already interact with, you know, finance, insurance, whatever, delivery services. So you could be looking at it from the ground up and saying, hey, when I get on a taxi every single day and I have to get from point A to point B, you know, I'm sitting there doing nothing for 45 minutes, you know, what can AI do for me, right? That's ground up. It's knowing that you're contextually aware and you understand your limitations and opportunities, and then you can think about where the opportunities may be. A lot of entrepreneurs that have done that have gotten massive amounts of value because you actually solve for a problem that most likely a massive amount of the population are experiencing. The second view from a top-down is that established businesses always create spaces for innovation. So we've seen what's happened in insurance. We've seen what's happened in financial services with new entrants that just found a really interesting slither or a gap in an established industry, and they created a whole business around that. So the second view is that if you've got the, you know, the opportunity to look at, you know, an industry at large or a space or a market, try and see within that particular industry, what are the gaps in the spaces that you could provide a solution for? And that could give you a top-down way to think about value from an AI point of view.
Okay, so you've given us a lot of practical, actionable advice. Mm-hmm. Now let's put you on the spot a little bit and look a bit further into the future. I'm a futurist, so I'm always curious about what's coming next. What is your biggest or boldest prediction that you're willing to make about where we headed with AI?
Sure. Yeah, you had to put me on the spot, didn't you? Yeah, so I think... At the end of the day, as vacuous as it sounds, I'm hoping that it's going to actually make us more human. I really am. So, and I'll share an example. I have a condition called keratoconus, which means that my cornea is shaped like a cone. And for about 3 weeks last year, I couldn't see. In that period where I couldn't see, I realized that my productivity bottomed out and I couldn't do the things I was used to doing. And so it forced me to start thinking about two things. Number one, how do I maintain the level of productivity? But then how do I still connect with my family and my friends and my business and all that stuff? And so that's when I went on the earnest pursuit of trying to augment myself, because now I still needed to read emails. Now I still needed to respond to stuff. And so I created an agentic world for myself that allowed me to maintain the level of productivity. Amazing. Now, post that, I've been able to get some, you know, my eyes into a good condition, but I remain connected to that agentic ecosystem, which means all that time that I previously didn't have, I can now reinvest to being a good father, being a good husband, and being a good partner. And so I've had a very practical example of how it should make us more human. And I know people say that all the time, but I've lived that to the extent that now I know that I don't need to spend the same amount of time I did previously reviewing reports, because I've created an ecosystem of agents that allows me to do that. And therefore, after this interview, I can go watch my son play basketball, right? So that for me is really the goal. I also think from an Africa point of view, there's going to be a lot of really interesting conversations from an ethical point of view. I think we've come out of an era where information, the way it was used and how it benefited a very small group of people, will become front and center again. If we see the consolidation of global powers around AI and the investments being made by the US, I think the ethics and the implication on Africa is going to become a big, big deal. As always, human beings will always resonate with utility and in some instances utility to our detriment. And so as AI gets more useful, I think we will become more forgiving of signing up and just giving away lots of information. So I think the ethics are going to be a massive, massive issue, and more so for us in the African context.
Thank you so much. You've been so generous with your insights and with your personal experience too. And that's a wrap on today's episode. A huge thank you to Musa Kalenga for sharing his expertise on agentic AI and the power of building and commanding your very own AI army. From transforming businesses with AI-driven automation to revolutionizing how companies operate in the digital age, it's clear that AI is reshaping the way we work and innovate. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the what, who, when, where, and how of Afro-Global Trends. And if today's conversation inspired you to dive deeper into the world of AI, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us on Wrap to BizTrends TV. You can also catch us on Biz Community's official website, as well as on BizTrends TV digital channels, The Real Network on YouTube, and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So on behalf of myself and our guests, Biz Community and Rap Creative, thank you for watching. We'll see you next time with more exciting trends and innovations.